Hello and welcome everybody.
Wait, sorry. Oh. The way you came in then. Hello. It just nearly blew my ears out, doesn't it?
Hello and welcome everybody to episode 48 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Learn English with Reza and Craig. If you're new to the podcast, if this is your first time with us, you're very welcome. I'm Reza, and beside me I have my friend and colleague Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Reza, and hello, everybody.
Well, now, what's this podcast all about? If you're new and you don't know, it's about helping you improve your English and taking it to the next level. In this episode, 48, we'll be talking about even though, even when, even so, and even if.
Lots of evens.
Lots of evens, yeah. No odd numbers there. And we'll also be talking a little bit about crime vocabulary and our recently started weekly wind-ups. We've done a few already. If you remember, it's when Craig and I tell you about things that annoy us particularly, but maybe not anybody else.
It's when we moan and complain about things.
Yeah, get things off our chest. If you want to find out more about the podcast, you can go to inglespodcast.com. And you can also study English free. Free, I said. At mansioninglés.com.
Did you say free?
I did say free. No money. Although there are some very good CDs on sale at mansioninglés.com.
That's true. Why not go and have a look at our CDs at mansioninglés.com? Just go to the product page and you'll see everything we have to offer.
And Craig, I believe you've got a bit of news for us.
Indeed I do, Reza. So news this week. Up to now, up to the present time, we have been releasing these podcast episodes whenever we can. As you know, Reza comes here, we record two or three, and then we release them sometimes every week, or usually every 10 days or so, or every 2 weeks. I want to make a promise to you to release an episode at least once a week. That will be Sunday evening around 8 p.m. You can expect a podcast from inglespodcast.com. That's 8 p.m. Spanish time.
So don't go to bed early on a Sunday. Just stay up that little bit extra if you want to get the podcast as soon as it comes out.
Yep, I'll be releasing them on Sunday. Now, it might not always be this one. It might not always be Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. That depends on Reza's schedule. That depends how often we can record podcasts. But there will be a podcast released. If you don't know, that I do two other podcasts on inglespodcast.com. There's an FCE podcast to help you pass the Cambridge First Certificate in English. And there's an interview podcast, which usually has comprehension questions. And basically, I interview people who I find interesting, and there are some questions and vocabulary to help you. So there will be a podcast every week from now on. There may be weeks when we publish two podcasts in the same week, but we think it's important for you to have continuity, if I can say it, continuity and consistency, so that you can study and learn with us at least once a week. So let's move on to some listener feedback. And Ricardo from Chile says, "It's interesting to know you were in Chile. In episode 8, you talk about Argentina, specifically Buenos Aires. And Ricardo says he's studying and listening to each episode one by one, and he listens twice or more times. Very good, Ricardo. He says, I'm currently listening to episode 9. Do you speak about Chile in some of those episodes? It would be cool. Keep in touch. Best regards, Ricardo." I don't think we have we? We've spoken about Chile. We've spoken about Argentina and dulce de leche and the lovely food from that country. But Chile? I'm not sure.
I don't know, but I can tell you that I often use my mapache American salt that you brought me from Chile.
Oh, right. You've still got that.
Yeah, mapache, Chilean salt. It's very good.
Yeah, I was in Chile a few years ago, and I did go to the University of Santiago in Santiago to give them a selection of our CDs, but it was closed because we went in August, and it was the holiday, so the university was closed. But in case you're interested, Ricardo, I also visited Valparaíso. It's a beautiful, beautiful place on the coast. I went as far north as San Pedro de Atacama, went to the Atacama Desert, which was beautiful. I loved San Pedro. We didn't get up to Arica. It was too far north. But we did go to the island of Chiloé, which is off the coast of Chile. And it rained every day, but it was a beautiful place. I felt very comfortable there with the rain and the English weather. And we had a lovely time traveling around Chile. Our next piece of feedback is from Mamin, and here she is.
Hi, Craig. Hi, Reza. Just a quick message for you, because I just listened to your last podcast when I was driving home from my job, and it's only to say thank you once more, and you are great. I love you too. Have a great weekend and enjoy the fallas. Kisses.
Well, thank you, Mamin. Thank you very much for your comments. It's nice, isn't it?
Yes.
And kisses to you too.
Yes, a big kiss.
And yes, we're in the middle of fallas at the moment, but when you listen to this, we'll probably be over and we'll be back to normal.
Don't worry, we'll be able to edit out the sound of the firecrackers, los petardos.
And, thanks very much, Mamin. Just remember, with listen, the preposition, listen to. Okay, listen to. So, moving on to grammar, and we have a question from Pau, from my first certificate class. And Pau's question is, what is the difference between even though, even when, even so, even if?
Good question, Paul.
It is a good question. Lots of evens. Now, one thing before we begin, be careful of the spelling of though. The spelling is T-H-O-U-G-H. And be careful of the pronunciation. Though. The same vowel sound as no, go, show, slow, or the letter O. So the pronunciation is though. Even though. So, most of them, Reza, what do you think? Sounds to me like the Spanish aunque in most cases.
Yes, but they're all applied differently in English, though, aren't they?
They are. They are. Let's start with even so, which is similar to nevertheless, however, or but, which I think in Spanish is aún así. Yeah. So, for example, I've got a Kindle app on my iPad and I love it. Even so, I still read a lot of paperback books. So I've got a tablet, I've got an ebook tablet, an ebook reader. Even so, I still read a lot of paperback books. So I think even so is used when there's a surprising or unexpected result to something. Do you agree with that?
Yes. It's like you take into consideration certain circumstances, but you either ignore them or you don't act in a way that might be expected according to those circumstances.
Right.
You've got the Kindle. It would be easier for you to use the Kindle app, but often you don't.
Yep, and that's the surprising thing, even though. How about...
Even so.
Even so. how about, Reza, I give you some sentences to finish and leave a pause for students to guess or try to complete the sentences and guess an ending to it. And then I'll tell you what I have written. So try to finish these sentences. She is loud and unfriendly. Even so...
I love her.
I like her. Very close. She's loud and unfriendly. She's loud and unfriendly. So it's unexpected that I like her or that Reza loves her. So she's loud and unfriendly. Even so, we like her or we love her. Let's try one more. When we went to the nightclub, it was crowded and very noisy. Even so...
We had a great time.
We had a great time. What do I have? I have, we stayed there until 5 a.m. One more. When I went to China, I was sick for 3 days. Even so,
you really enjoyed the experience.
It was a really good trip, and I would go back again.
Yeah.
Yeah, very close. One more. It's a long and sometimes uncomfortable bus ride to get to Craig's flat. Even so,
Reza somehow gets here 10 minutes late.
I have nothing for that one. One more, the last one. Some of my students are lazy, boring, and unpleasant. Even so,
I teach them as best I can.
I still love my teaching job. Yeah, very good. So let's have a look at even though, even when, and even if. When a strong statement is made, when you say a strong statement, it's often followed with a phrase with even. So the word even, E-V-E-N, adds shock, surprise, or excitement. For example, when I cook food, I burn everything. I even burnt a slice of toast yesterday. I even burnt a slice of toast yesterday.
Because it seems hard to burn a slice of toast. You've got
Not
to be really bad to do it. But Craig is even capable of burning toast.
I'm even capable of burning water when I make tea. My memory is getting worse as I'm getting older. Sometimes I can't even remember what I had for lunch the day before, for example. Even though in Spanish, what do you think? Aunque or a pasar de? Even
yes.
though?
Anything that you would really translate as though. Though and even though they have the same meaning, except, as you just said, even adds emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Even though is a stronger version of though. Right?
So, for example, I decided to walk to the supermarket even though it was raining, which in Spanish is decidí caminar o andar hasta el supermercado aunque estaba lloviendo. Yeah. Even though refers to a definite outcome or result. For example, even though I got very drunk on our first date, she agreed to see me again. Now, even when is more...
Sorry, Craig, yes. Can I just ask you a question about even though?
Even though.
Yeah. So, though means the same as although, right?
Yes.
So can I say except even plus although?
No, you can't.
Ah.
You can't. Try to think of even though as one trozo, one chunk of language that in this case has a specific use. Mm-hmm. So you can't say it's not correct to say even although. It must be even though. Good question. Even when, aun cuando, incluso cuando.
Yes.
And it refers to something that happens rarely, casi nunca, pocas veces. For example, even when Reza wanted to speak, Craig didn't let him. Aun cuando Craig quería hablar, Reza no le dejó.
What about even when Reza set out half an hour early, he still arrived late to Craig's house.
That's true. Even when? Even if, let's look at even if. It's in the unlikely case that, which in Spanish would be aunque or aun si. Even if refers to a possible outcome. It's a possible thing. For example, even if we never see each other again, I'll always remember you, said my ex-girlfriend before she threw me out of her flat. Aunque nunca nos volvamos a ver, siempre te recordaré. Even if we never see each other again, I'll always remember you. Another example, I'd still love chocolate even if everyone else hated it. Now, those two expressions are very similar, but not always interchangeable. And the meaning and the context of the sentence is very important when you decide whether to use even though, even when, or even if. For example, even though the interview was bad, Pepito got the job. So the interview was bad, but he got the job.
Despite the difficulty.
Despite the difficulty. Right. It's not correct to say even when the interview was bad, Pepito got the job. It's not correct. Okay? Even though.
And even if is also wrong.
Yes. Now, even when, listen to this example, even when we get a sponsor for this podcast, Reza and I won't have enough money to retire.
That's true.
Now, no, this sentence is not correct because this sentence suggests that we'll probably get a sponsor.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Even if we get a sponsor for this podcast, Reza and I won't have enough money to retire. Now, that's correct because there is a lesser chance that we'll get a sponsor.
Well, your first sentence, even when, was grammatically correct. It's just very unlikely.
It's
just,
it's grammatically correct, but because it's unlikely we're going to get or not very likely that we'll get a sponsor soon. It's better to use even if
as a conditional. Yeah,
exactly.
It might happen. Yeah.
So the context will show when to use even though, even when, or even if. So thank you, pal. That was a very interesting question. Moving on to crime vocabulary. Have you got any crime vocabulary for us, Reza?
Yes, I'm sure you've got plenty as well, so we'll do a bit each. I'll start with some basics.
Okay.
Okay, Craig, in your opinion, what's the difference between to steal and to rob?
Collocation.
Okay, so what about it?
So things that you rob would be a bank, for example. You'd rob a bank, you could rob a post office. And steal is more widely used. You could steal money. You can steal time. You can steal somebody's attention. You would steal a wallet and could steal things from a house. Mm-hmm. So I would say steal is more common, and rob is a collocation. You rob a bank, so you have a bank robber.
That's almost exactly what I thought of. Yep. And I'm going to even simplify that to steal money or objects or ideas. And to rob a place, as you said, a bank or a post office. Or to rob a person. That's the one thing you didn't mention, which I would add. I've been robbed.
Yes.
They've taken my wallet. So they stole my wallet. That's a thing. But they didn't steal me. They robbed me.
Yes.
They stole my wallet. So rob the person, steal the thing.
And I would add two more verbs to the mix. I would add to burgle and to mug.
Yep, me too. To burgle what?
Well, again, collocation. So you rob a bank, but you burgle a house or an office.
Yeah. So for me, to burgle is to break into, which means enter illegally.
Phrasal verb, break into.
Break into. Illegally enter a building to rob it.
Yes.
But having illegally broken in. So for me, to burgle is to illegally break into a building, but nobody knows you've done it. To steal things.
Unless you get caught.
Unless you get caught. But they find out the next day. It's not like a bank robbery. In a bank robbery, when they rob the bank, they may come in with guns saying, "We've come to rob the bank, put your hands up, it's no secret." Whereas to burgle, it's done secretly.
Well, I'm not sure because...
Well, they don't want to be caught. They would prefer not to be seen doing it, right?
Could, in theory, you could break into a bank in the middle of the night where nobody knows and steal money from the safe through a tunnel, and it would still be robbing the bank. You wouldn't be burgling the bank.
No, burgle, it's only for homes or private offices.
Flats, houses, offices, private property.
That's true, yeah. And Craig, what about some word formations? So to burgle's a verb, but what do you call the person who commits that crime?
A burglar.
And what's the crime called?
Burglary.
Okay, to steal is a verb. What would you call the noun from steal?
A stealer.
You're joking,
no,
are you?
No. A thief.
A thief is the person. And what about the activity?
Theft. Yeah. So just be careful of the spelling. T-H-I-E-F is the person. A thief. Theft. T-H-E-F-T is the crime. Burglar. B-U-R-G-L-A-R. And burglary with a Y. Burglary.
What about a person who robs?
A robber.
And what crime do they commit?
Robbery.
Is robbery countable or uncountable?
It's countable, I think.
You could say a robbery.
A robbery?
Yes, two robberies. In this area, there have been many robberies.
And what's the difference between to steal, to burgle, to rob, and to mug?
For me, to mug is to mug a person in public or in a public place, although there may not be any witnesses. You don't mug someone in their house, you mug them in the street.
Usually with a knife or a gun.
Gun in the street, in a railway station, a metro station, or a park or something like that. But it's in a public place, that's to mug.
And what's the name of a person who mugs somebody?
A mugger.
That's right.
Not a mug. A mug is where you put your tea or coffee. Or in colloquial English, a mug is like a stupid person.
Yeah, you mug, you idiot. Yeah.
And then the activity... The crime is...
Muggery? No.
Don't say that. It's a mugging.
A mugging.
And it can be countable. Quite often, my students, for some reason, form the opinion that ing nouns are uncountable. Not at all. Ing nouns can be countable. A mugging, many muggings. Also, a building, 20 buildings... A mugging can be countable.
Yes.
There are countable ing.
Absolutely.
Nouns.
Do you have any other crimes? I have a list of crimes and the people who commit them.
Well, let's play a little game of word formation. So if I say, for example, a person is a murderer, yeah, what is the crime that that person commits?
Murder.
Uh-huh. And what's the verb?
To murder.
Ah, so the verb is the same as the crime.
Yes.
But the person, you add an ER, murderer.
And what's the difference, Reza, between... I'm going to catch you, trying to catch you out here. Are you ready? The difference between a murderer and an assassin.
Good question. It's a question of usage, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it because an assassin murders or assassinates someone famous?
Generally speaking, they're famous, aren't they? Or important. Famous or important. You could be important without being famous, in theory. So, important or famous people.
However, spies sometimes assassinate other spies or political figures or mafia. Could be a mafia hit.
So, because those people are important. They may not be famous, but they're important. Important or famous people. And also, with assassination, it's... usually politically driven or to do with ideology or just for money.
Yeah.
If you're a hitman, that means you're a paid killer. You get paid to murder people. You could say you're an assassin. You assassinate people. You get paid the money and you go and kill them.
So famous people who were assassinated, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King. So they were assassinated and murdered.
Yes, because murder is any illegal killing, isn't it?
Any taking of life. Any more?
To rape, what's that?
That is to have sexual intercourse against the person's will, without the person wanting to have sex.
Yes, and the person who commits that crime is a rapist. That's R-A-P-I-S-T. And what is the crime called?
Rape.
Yes, so R-A-P-E. The verb and the noun again are the same.
Yes.
As with murder. I thought of another one which is fairly common, I think, for native speakers. But my Spanish students never get this one. They always have to ask me. To defraud.
To defraud.
Even though it's very similar in Spanish, defraudar. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Because in Spanish you have other words as well. In Spanish you have this word defraudar, meaning to let someone down or to disappoint. Me has defraudado. You've let me down. In English, that is not to defraud.
In English, it's a crime.
Yeah. In English, to defraud is only for crime. It's not for disappointment.
And defraud is the verb to defraud someone. What's the name of the person who defrauds?
A fraudster.
Yes. And the crime?
Also a fraud.
Mm-hmm. Fraud. Mm-hmm.
Any more from you, Craig?
Many more.
Hit me with them.
I'll hit you with some more. Somebody who sets fire to things, like to burn down a building, perhaps for insurance purposes.
Ah, well, if you hadn't said for insurance purposes, if you just said somebody who likes to burn things and set fire to things.
Fallera.
I was going to say Valencian. Fallera.
Fallera, yeah.
Valencian Fallera. Okay, but as a crime, then it would be an arsonist.
And the crime?
Arson.
Correct.
And the verb?
To burn down a building illegally.
There's no verb.
How strange.
To commit arson, you would have to say. There's no verb for that one.
Okay. What about a person who deliberately damages public property? Maybe writes their name on a bus stop or breaks things in the street.
A vandal.
Yes. And the crime?
Vandalism.
Absolutely. Going back...
Let's just get technical for a while. Come on, let's get technical. Vandalism is the action. Is that countable or uncountable?
Vandalism. It's uncountable.
Yeah, so you cannot count the word vandalism. You cannot say a plus vandalism.
No.
And you cannot say two plus vandalisms.
No, it would just be vandalism. Vandalism is a problem in some areas of London, for example.
We can't say, for example, yesterday there were 5 robberies in this area. I've counted them. But if someone committed vandalism 5 times, we would have to say, yesterday there were 5 acts of vandalism.
Acts of vandalism or incidents of vandalism. Yeah. Just before we continue, the verb to commit is a collocation with crime. So there are some... some words which collocate with commit, for example, to commit a crime, to commit murder, to commit suicide, to commit...
Although that's not a crime, let's just clarify.
How many years do you get for committing suicide?
Doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
You won't be around to serve them.
To commit adultery is another strong collocation, which means to have sex outside of your marriage.
I'm afraid I may have committed a crime, Craig.
What?
I may have committed a crime in that case. I should say to the listeners, I'm not married and I'm not a saint. I may have committed a crime. You said to commit adultery.
So if you're not married, then you...
Is it a crime?
It's a crime if... Is it a crime?
I thought you said to commit adultery is...
To commit adultery is to have sex outside of marriage.
But I'm asking you, is it a crime? Because if it is, the police might be looking for me because, listeners, I'm not married and I'm no saint. What can I say?
I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm not married and I'm no saint. You know, well, there are other things apart from podcasting that I occasionally do, listeners.
But you won't be sent to prison. It is grounds for divorce. You can get divorced, but you won't be sent to prison, so don't worry. Going back to our verbs for stealing, you know, to rob, to burgle, to mug, I have another one. To shoplift.
Aha.
Which is also stealing.
But it's specifically stealing from a shop.
Yes, stealing from a shop or a supermarket. Shoplifting. And the crime is shoplifting and the person?
A shoplifter.
Yes. And another one connected to stealing, to pickpocket.
And it's very common here in Valencia at Fayaz. As we speak, there are probably many pickpockets in Valencia working away.
To pickpocket, to steal things from your pockets, your wallet, your keys, your money, to pickpocket. And the crime is pickpocketing. Mm-hmm. Pickpocketing.
Again, it's uncountable, so you can't say ah. So, Craig, why do you think there's so much pickpocketing in Valencia during Fayaz?
Because of the crowds, some streets are very, very crowded around the Fayaz. You have to push. You're in close proximity to people. It's very normal to feel another body behind you, another body next to you. So you don't notice when someone's picking your pocket. Mm-hmm. And be very careful if you do come to Valencia during Fayaz, not to wear your backpack or your rucksack, your mochila, on your back, because it's very common to cut the bottom of the rucksack and take out any cameras or any money you have inside. Be very careful if you come to Valencia during fires.
Now, pickpocketing is a crime. It's a serious crime. But, Craig, is it possible to put a link into the song, I Love to Pick a Pocket or Two?
Yes,
I love that song, don't you?
Oliver.
Oliver, what a great song it is. I love to pick a pocket or two. Makes pickpocketing seem quite fun, actually.
Yeah, money doesn't grow on trees. You've got to pick a pocket or two. I'll put a link in the show notes to the video on YouTube. I'm sure there is one. I have two or three more. Reza, what's the name for a criminal who tries to cross the border with alcohol, drugs, too many cigarettes, tries to bring something illegally from one country to another?
Well, if you hadn't said drugs, if you'd said alcohol or cigarettes, I would say it's an Englishman taking a ferry from France to Dover.
Or flying to Benidorm for the week.
But because you've said drugs, that's different because drugs are illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, it's most English people coming back to England from holiday in France because it's much cheaper. Okay, but if it's drugs, if it's illegally, they're a smuggler.
Yeah,
they're smuggling.
And a person who takes control of an aeroplane, terrorists, for example, who take control of an aeroplane and demand money or something.
That's a hijacker. Yes. They hijack the plane and they're committing a hijacking. That's countable, a hijacking.
And the person hijacker, a hijacker.
What if it's they take control of a person? If you like, steal a person, so to speak.
If they take someone and then ask for money, so they give the person back. Yeah. That's kidnapping. The crime is kidnapping. And the criminal, the person is a kidnapper. A kidnapper.
And the verb to kidnap.
To kidnap. And finally, one last one. I'm sure you know this. When you download illegally from the internet, if you try to download music or films from the internet.
Well, I would say illegal downloading.
What about an internet pirate?
Oh, yes, indeed, yeah.
Piracy.
Yeah.
Piracy of films, music.
Okay.
Internet piracy is the crime. And you are a pirate.
Yeah.
A parrot.
Does that mean you look like Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Absolutely. With an eye patch and a parrot and a wooden leg.
Actually, we shouldn't joke about it because, listeners, this is the year 2015. Recently, piracy has been on the increase.
Yes,
on the increase.
It has.
Who would have believed it?
Unbelievable.
People illegally boarding ships to steal things or to kidnap people.
Especially off the coast of Africa. Is it Somalia? The Somalian pirates?
Yeah.
Big problem. Huge problem over there.
What about to rip someone off?
Yeah, good verb. Yeah.
What's a rip-off? What is that?
A rip-off is un engaño. Engañar is to rip someone off, which is basically to cheat someone.
Yeah.
With many phrasal verbs, there is a full verb equivalent, which is very similar. In this case, it's probably to cheat. So if someone rips you off, they take advantage of you, they cheat you, usually for money. Can you think of an example?
Yes, you say, I'll have a glass of Coca-Cola, please, in a bar.
During fires, that's €5, please.
Or 20. You give them a 20 note and they give you no change. You say, hold on, I only asked for a Coca-Cola. And went, it's €20.
Yeah, this is fires.
Today.
€20.
You've been ripped off.
It's a rip-off.
You've been ripped off or you've been conned. To con is another useful one.
Mm-hmm.
To con.
And a person who cons is a con man.
A con man or a con artist as well. If they make a living out of it, they're a con artist. They've always made they've almost made an art out of it.
Yeah, a con woman, con artist, con man.
Yeah, we're speaking English, by the way, not French. Don't say con in French.
Ah. Moving on.
Moving on swiftly.
To our weekly wind-up section of the podcast. And this is where Reza and I get the chance to complain about things that annoy us, things that irritate and bother us. In Spanish, fastidiar, disgustar, or molestar. Reza, do you have any weekly wind-ups? What winds you up this episode?
Well, a very common thing, and some people might find this old-fashioned. I hate when I'm having a real one-to-one live conversation with someone face-to-face, and that person's mobile phone rings and our conversation is interrupted, and the person I'm speaking to doesn't even apologize, say sorry, excuse me, or would you mind waiting a minute? They just stop speaking to me abruptly and attend to the mobile phone message, which immediately seems to take priority and might take a long time. And in the meantime, I just have to twiddle my thumbs.
What's twiddling your thumbs?
Well, it literally means moving your thumbs round and round because you're bored or you don't know what to do. But it can mean stand around, you don't know what to do, you know. Now what, I have to listen to this conversation. And I didn't even get an apology. That bothers me. If they apologize and say, sorry, I've got to take this call, that doesn't bother me at all. But just no apology, interruption, does it bother you?
I hate it, yeah. It bothers me. It bothers me a lot. And also when I go, for example, into a bank or an office and I sit down and start speaking to somebody and their telephone goes and then they answer it and sit there having a conversation, sometimes even a private conversation, and as if I'm not there. And that really annoys me because that's saying to me that the person on the phone is more important than I am, which they may be, but I'm there in person and I don't think the phone call should be interrupting our conversation. But maybe it's old-fashioned because the world's changing, but I still think good manners are important.
What about you? What's your weekly wind-up for this episode?
My weekly wind-up this week, loud music in bars.
Good one.
Not necessarily disco bars, because, okay, you go out on a Friday night, a Saturday night, you go to a disco bar, you expect loud music. You expect it to be loud, otherwise don't go. But what bothers me, normal kind of pubs that you go to that have music that's too loud, even maybe during the week, so it's almost impossible to have a conversation. And you go there because you'd like a nice, quiet atmosphere and you just want to speak. If you go to a disco bar, you expect loud music, you expect to dance. But what I'm speaking about, those bars that have music too loud, and you have to shout and to try and make a conversation, which especially as a foreign language speaker here in Spain, I find it 10 times more difficult to understand Spanish when I'm in a bar that has background music. So maybe that's something that's special for me as an English speaker in Spain.
I couldn't agree more. Although for me, I find it equally annoying in the context of my own language in an English-speaking country. It still
me too.
Annoys me.
Yeah. We would love to hear of your wind-ups, things that annoy and bother you. So why not send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza.com, and we would really love it if you would record your voice and send us a sound file, the same as Mamen did in this episode. Go to our homepage at inglespodcast.com and just click the orange button and speak into your microphone. We would love to get a sound message from you, and you could practice your English and speak to us. Remember also, you can sign up to our email list at inglespodcast.com, and you can learn free at mansioningles.com and take your English to the next level. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. So we will see you later, and until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Take it easy.